And now, straight from the River City's Reader, which is, explain this again, it now comes out every other week.
Comes out every other week in print.
And that's good news because?
Because I get a break. I don't have to do 24/7. That's all that really matters, you know.
No, it's great. We got fresh content on the website Monday through Friday.
In fact, what you're listening to right now will be on the website. You might be listening to it on the website now.
For all we know.
Right.
Absolutely. You are freaking me out.
Yeah. That's another podcast that we're doing with the River City's Reader.
Oh, podcasts and infomercials.
I know.
It's like the 21st century. What the
Mike
hell?
Maybe doesn't know this. We did an infomercial this week.
You did not?
Yeah.
Really?
You ever flip through and you see the doll difference where they're selling cars?
Yeah, okay.
That's us this week.
Honest to goodness.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Is this on your website? Can we find it?
No, I don't know if there's a way to put it on the website.
It's 30 minutes long. It'd be kind of tough.
Oh, I mean, that would be tough.
Put a segment on.
All right. Well, how does one find this?
Just keep watching TV.
Flip around the channels when the infomercials come on.
Fantastic.
It'll be on tomorrow morning on a couple different channels, I think.
I will absolutely seek that out. That sounds great.
Yeah, I'm guessing
it's the last time they ask us to do it.
Yeah, but once is enough if
That's
you do
true.
It right. You
know? We slash prices to
just
such
like
a...
Just like the Doors on the old Sullivan Show. You'll never do the Sullivan Show again. We just did.
We just did. Right.
The
Perfect.
Prices were slashed so low that I think there might be a lawsuit.
Yeesh.
We might have cost all
TV,
four of fortune.
But if it's got to be true, right?
That's right. Absolutely right. So we're excited about that. Cool, guys.
Let's talk about the movies that you've seen since we've talked to you. Quite a few when you left here on Friday.
Well, we kind of hurried him through last time because we had an interview to do,
right.
And then the interview never happened. So.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
No, I kind of liked it. It was like I was in and out in 10 minutes.
Lightning round.
It was perfect.
Not so fast this week.
No.
All right. Fine. We'll ease in gently.
What have you seen?
Well, just to mention it again, I went and saw Gran Torino for the second time.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because Gran Torino is the greatest.
It's worth seeing twice,
it's fantastic.
Number
yeah.
one movie in America.
Number one. 30 million or something like
yeah.
that?
God yeah.
God bless Clint. I went there. I showed up, I would guess, about halfway through the credit for the trailers. And had to sit in the very front row of one of those big screens over
that
at 53. That packed. There was nowhere else to sit. And it was crazy. The audience went nuts. It was but I went back to hear dialogue I missed the first time because people were laughing so hard, and so I didn't get to hear it again.
Drives
this
me
time.
Nuts though. There were only four showings.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the studio's idea, a way to kind of keep it running
uh-huh.
through the Oscars.
Uh huh.
Right.
You know, if they did a Pirates kind of screening with four screens,
now were you
everyone
able to
would
tell?
See it in the first 2 weeks. And
when did
be
you
done with
see
that.
It this time?
This time,
what time of day?
I saw it at noon or 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Saturday.
I was going to say,
Saturday
how is
afternoon.
It packed at noon?
Yeah.
Saturday.
Well, I was going to say, I would got to believe that this would be very popular with people in their 70s.
Yeah. It's
this
movie. Absolutely. Remember, well, last year this time we had Bucket List, remember?
Which
was just god-awful terrible. And
right.
So this is a
right, but
very nice improvement for that demographic.
Yeah, someone 75 and kicking ass has got to be appealing.
Yeah, it is. It's the greatest. I just loved it, man. Ah. So, yeah, so catch that above everything, please. It's super good.
All right.
We sat through Bride Wars. We did. We watched Anne Hathaway and Kate Hudson.
And you do that
go at it.
So we don't have to.
Yeah. I
How
do these things
it?
For you. It's terrible, but, you know, whatever. It's exactly what you expect. What kills me about these movies is you get kind of, you OD on the previews anyway. You know, you've mm-hmm. seen these commercials over and over. You know the joke with her getting blue hair dye, you know, and she gets an orange tan and all that stuff. How is it that people in the audience still cackle when these things happen on screen? I mean, the reason they're in the theater, theoretically, is because they've seen these commercials where they get blue hair dyed and turn orange.
A lot of people's lives are miserable, man. And they just want any sort of escape they can possibly
get. Well, that's cool. All right. I don't judge on that. I guess I don't understand. Laughter should be
there
more kind of involuntary.
That, you know, there are people that when they go, hey, I paid my money, I am going to have
I'm
a good time
fun.
One way or the other.
Right, yeah. God right. bless. I think that's great. So
stay away.
Those people are going to be very happy.
Stay away from Bride Wars.
Yeah. The Unborn is the horror movie that opened last weekend, which is worse than Bride Wars, which is really bad. Well, it's so offensive.
I don't mean to interrupt. I would like that on the poster for The Unborn. Mike Schultz of the River City's Reader says, worse than Bride Wars.
Well,
it really
it's because it's not
was.
Believable because the Unborn has an orange tan.
And blue dye.
And blue dye hair.
And it's a Holocaust victim.
It's we've got a little bit of the Holocaust coming to play into this.
Why were you offended?
Well,
on how many levels?
9, maybe 8 or 9. I'm thinking it's just. Nah, I shouldn't even get into it.
No. I like it when you get this mad. This is my favorite thing. When you get so disgusted
with a
movie.
But don't people's heads, like, turn around all completely?
Yeah, that's kind of okay. There's a dog with an upside-down head that kind of roams around, which is
like
kind of
kid
fun.
On Family Guy? Yeah. Like Tom Tucker's kid?
Right.
Let me ask you this. Wasn't this written by the same dude that wrote The Dark Knight?
He did the story for The Dark Knight?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you would think that
there
would mean
good.
There
are people walking on all fours that look like they're trying to do the limbo and stuff.
Yeah, it's got a few of those little creepy moments, I guess. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're still stuck with two idiot dipstick teenagers who just, you know, the Holocaust? Oh, God, that sounds like such a drag. And you're like, why do you get out of here? You know, I just want to slap them upside the head.
Stay away from the unborn.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Right.
And finally, I saw a movie called Not Easily Broken, which we didn't discuss last week because we didn't know it was coming out.
It never even heard of it. It
wasn't in the paper. It wasn't on the website.
Not Easily Broken.
Wasn't on the recorded message even.
Okay.
Yeah, I found out it was there by showing up and buying a ticket for another movie. It's got Taraji Henson, who's playing the mom in Benjamin Button right now,
mm-hmm.
and Boris Chestnut. And it's kind of a, you know, young African-Americans hanging out in L.A. kind of movie. And it's okay. It was certainly the best one of the weekend, and I'm just astonished that nobody knew it was here because it wasn't in the paper or on the website or on the recorded message.
And you just took a flyer on it, not knowing what it was.
Yeah, I think I'd seen a preview maybe a couple months ago for it, and I only saw it when I was, buying a ticket for something else and said, oh, well, let's give that a whirl. And it was really kind of well-written and nicely acted and certainly more pleasant than anything else.
A movie you needed after
you
the
bought
unborn
tickets?
And Bride Wars.
Well, you know, I
thought you just flash a badge.
I do flash the badge.
I'm Mike Schultz.
So when I say
movie
purchase,
critic,
movie
I don't really mean it. Yeah.
I'm Mike Schultz.
Ah, there's my movie.
Movie dick.
Perfect.
Who
would play me?
Probably Kevin James.
Yeah, probably.
No offense.
Nope, none taken.
Let's talk
all.
About this opening in Quad City Theaters today. It's Paul Blart, Mall Cop. A single suburban dad tries to make ends meet as a security officer at a New Jersey mall. It's a job he takes very seriously, though no one else does. When Santa's helpers at the mall stage a coup.
I like that.
Shutting down the Megaplex and taking hostages. Paul's daughter and sweetheart among them, Jersey's most formidable mall cop, will have to become a real cop to save the day.
Well, I like the
That's
old...
That's not bad.
...pulling a coup.
That's okay.
Fatso Die Hard. is what they're calling this. Here's a clip from Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
In the event that you approach an assailant, here's what I want you to do. You're going to pull up. Left hip forward, placing your right hand on your away hip thusly, giving the illusion that you have a gun. Of course, we both know you don't. Okay? But you know what we do have?
Our voices!
We have our voices. You remember one thing from today, it's this. The mind is the only weapon that doesn't need a holster.
Right. Awesome. How long do we get for lunch?
Half hour. But I eat in 20, which leaves me 5 minutes for social time, 5 minutes to get refocused.
All right.
5 minutes to get refocused.
Yeah, we'll give it a whirl.
This looked so bad originally, and I'm kind of warming up to it. And I don't know if that's just because
you know,
I'm
be
easily
kind of
amused or what.
It'd be kind of fun if not everyone makes it out alive.
If they kill 3 or 4 of the elves, would be great.
Yeah. They crash a plane and Die Hard, don't they?
In one of them.
Yeah.
Certainly. The second one, I think.
Plenty of people die
in
Die Hard.
Yeah, if you can do that, then why can't you... Lose a couple of this one.
I think the King of Queens people would be a little bit offended, but who knows?
Also opening today.
Friendly fire.
Also opening today, and I'd almost like to go see this just to be in the theater with Mike when he watches it. Hotel for Dogs.
Oh, for the love of Pete. Yeah, right.
When their new guardians forbid 16-year-old Andy and her younger brother Bruce to have a pet, Andy has to use her quick wit to help find a new home for their dog, whose name is Friday. The resourceful kids stumble upon an abandoned hotel, and using Bruce's talents as a mechanical genius, they transform it into a magical dog paradise for Friday, and eventually, all of Friday the dog's friends.
I stopped listening to you after about 4 or 5 words.
Are you going to
really?
See this?
This is going to be at the end of the list, so this won't happen this weekend for sure. We'll try
to
catch it before I chat with you guys next
week.
See
this. Come on.
I kind of have to. But
come on, it's your job,
Mike. I kind of have to, but look, there's others.
Is there? are there.
You're Mike Schultz.
Movie dick.
I love that.
Also opening today, My Bloody Valentine 3D.
Uh-huh.
10 years ago, a tragedy forever changed the town of Harmony. Forever. Tom. The town was called Harmony.
All right.
Then tragedy changed it forever. Tom Haniger, an experienced coal miner, caused an accident in the tunnels that trapped and killed five men and sent the only survivor, Harry Warden, into a permanent coma.
Wow, not that
then,
experienced, apparently.
Exactly 1 year later, on Valentine's Day, Harry Warden woke up and brutally murdered 22 people with a pickaxe.
Wow.
Before being killed.
Talk about
you
holding
think you'd
a grudge.
Be pretty happy. I'm awake now, you know? I'd rather hug 22 people.
It's now 22 years. It's now 10 years later. Here's a clip from My Bloody Valentine. Now, the movie's in 3D.
Okay, so
the clip is in stereo. That's the best I can do for you.
He was killing people in 99, or he was only in a coma a year.
Back? Well, 10 years ago. The tragedy happened 10 years ago. He was asleep for a year.
Okay, so the killing took place in 99.
Right.
And he's back?
Harry Warden broke up, brutally murdered 22 people with a pickaxe before being killed. 10 years later, Tom Haniger returns to Harmony on Valentine's Day, still haunted by the deaths he caused.
That he caused.
Struggling to make amends with his past, he grapples with unresolved feelings for his ex-girlfriend, Sarah, who is now married to his best friend, Axel, the town sheriff. I feel like I'm giving away
like
the whole movie.
Theory.
Well, at least he got out of town. He was smart to get out of town before this guy went on a rampage.
Right.
He'd be the first person he'd be looking for, wouldn't he?
Well, another unstoppable killer is on the loose.
Kills 22 innocent people.
Are you Tom?
I guess not.
No, he's out of town.
Here's a clip from My Bloody Valentine in 3D.
Do you look up the front? Yes. Hello, the store's closed. Hello? There's nobody here, Sarah.
That clip does exactly what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
It was kind of perfect.
Yeah.
In stereo, no less.
When he comes back to town because he's got unresolved feelings concerning the deaths he's caused,
uh-huh.
Does he feel responsible for the 22 deaths that happened a year later, or is that just an act of God?
You've got to go see the movie and find out,
Aaron. I guess I'll tell you next week. Yeah.
We'll know more when Mike tells us next
week.
But
it's just the mine accident he's taking credit for.
That
killing spree. That killing spree is not on me, man.
That's not my bag.
I'll take the heat for that first one. But
right.
No.
Right. The fact that I caused the guy's coma is one thing, but the fact that he woke up and started chopping people up with a pickaxe, he's
got to
take some responsibility.
I shot the sheriff.
Right.
But
right. Also opening in theaters today, Defiance. Four Jewish brothers living in Nazi-occupied Poland escape into the forest where they join up with resistance fighters battling the Nazi. This is based on a true story. They built a village inside the forest and saved the lives of more than 1,200 other Jews.
Wow.
Yeah. Daniel Craig, James Bond, is in this one. Here's a clip from Defiance.
We will censor everyone who is left alive. And if there are hundreds to you, then we will provide. And when the Germans follow these hundreds, what then?
I won't let that happen.
You won't let that happen.
No, I will bring them out myself.
From the ghetto?
Yes.
So, now you are Moses, huh? Let's go back to work. You're wasting time. I'm not the one who's wasting time, to you.
I cannot have you questioning me in front of the others. We're family. We have to sit together.
Is it like a secret village? You would think it has to be.
It's like an Ewok village.
It was like
for
it was like the
refugee
Jews on the Nazis.
Yeah.
Yeah, kinda.
Kinda.
Yes.
I think you kind of got the idea.
That sounds about right.
That looks okay.
I don't know. I hate Ed Zwick, the director. I can't stand his movies.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't
like
Glory?
I wish I had some more to say of that. Glory is about as good as they get for
me. What else did he make?
Legends of the Fall.
Okay, that's awful.
Blood Diamond.
That's not good.
It's pretty bad.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan.
Also opening today, and I'm very excited about this, it's the new movie Chronicle. The Life of Notorious B.I.G. Notorious.
No.
Notorious.
In just a few short years,
different movie?
Notorious B.I.G. rose from the streets of Brooklyn to become one of the most influential hip-hop artists of all time, B.I.G. was a gifted storyteller. His narratives about violent life on the streets were told with a gritty, objective realism that won him enormous respect and credibility. Do I sound like I'm reading this? This is from the heart. Yeah, basically, it's a biopic on Notorious B.I.G. And, lucky for you, I've brought a clip.
My business is about the streets, but my business ain't in the streets. And I can't be building nothing around no artists and get locked up any minute.
I'm saying, if you got real paper coming my way, I'm out the game.
Don't chase the paper, chase the dream. I started off as Andre Harrell's assistant. Now I'm damn near running this place. You know what I'm saying? I'm hungry. You can throw me butt naked in the jungle and I'll come out with a chinchilla coat, a leopard hat, and 10 pounds heavier from eating them.
Puffy, I don't know about a chinchilla. But if you throw me out to the jungle, I had a dancing. Maybe in the right hands, I could be like one of the greatest.
How old are you?
19.
By the time you're 21, I'll make you into a millionaire.
Huh. That could be pretty fun.
It does look like fun.
I kind of like musical biopics because it's like a biopic with music. You know, it's like,
yeah,
awesome.
How about that? Now you get it.
You're getting it.
Now you got it.
Yeah, I'm on board with
that. You know what? That would be a great first line in your review.
But see, I've blown it now.
Now I like it.
Mike has let one of his nieces or nephews write the column. What is
there you go.
Biopics are...
Musical biopics I like because they're biopics with music.
Is this a movie made in China opening up here today?
No, but we do have Last Chance Harvey, the one with Dustin Hoffman and Emma Thompson.
Oh, right.
But, you know.
And that's basically what?
Old people fall in love, I think.
No thanks. He's Mike Schultz from the River Cities Reader, Reader's Reviews in the paper and online at rcreader.com.
Old people shouldn't be falling in love. They should be defending their cars.
You know, it'd be a good movie.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah,
absolutely. Go Clint.
He's Mike Schultz.
Thank you, guys.
From the River Cities Reader.
Pleasure.
We thank you, as always, for your time, Mike. Good luck with these movies.
Thank you.
Go check out Hotel for Dogs.
Oh, God.
Do yourself a favor.
Maybe.
It's a hotel with dogs living in it.
Get it?
We're Dave and Darren, and this is Rock 104.9.